This is a production of Cornell University.
Student Assembly, May 1st, 2008.
One last time, this meeting is called to order at 4:45. Would the clerk please call the roll? That, it is very emotional. On to approval of the minutes from the April 17th meeting. Those should be in front of you right now. If there is any feedback from those minutes, Ashley?
Oh, wow, yeah.
Oh.
And it's also on the agenda, but we already passed it.
Right. Okay. The minutes are not in front of you. Just ignore those. Hopefully everyone had a chance to look at the minutes from April 17th. Are there any changes that have been recommended? Are there any motions? There's been a call for acclamation. Is there a second? Is there any dissent? Seeing none, the minutes from the April 17th meeting have been approved. On to open microphone. At this time, I'd like to remind all Cornell undergraduate students that they are non-voting members of the Student Assembly. And at this time, if they'd like to come forward to discuss an issue that's not on the agenda, they can do so now. All right. Thank you. On to announcements and reports. The first is the University Board of Health Services announcement by Representative Wang.
Hi, everyone. I just want to do a quick call. The Board of University Conference was actually a meeting, but officially starting the meeting this semester. We already had a meeting with Associate Director David, and she's the Associate Director for Community Relations. And the main thing I had to ask is we're looking for a team member, an interesting public health for health for Bell. And we really we're trying to change the community so that we have a liaison from the state. The agent from the UA, a couple of community members, and then they'll probably have a UT meeting with her to find out what's going on with it, what they're trying to change, and then come back to the SA, let us know what's going on, and that we may also go to the SA liaison if we have an issue, and then they can meet and talk about it. So if any of you are interested in public health or just health going on at Cornell, please let me know if you're interested in being part of the formal community next week.
Thank you. Thank you, Andrew. Now, any questions or comments for Andrew? All right. Vice President Lapp.
I have just a quick sort of unofficial announcement. I don't know if you've been aware of recent rally demonstrations in response to a certain event where a female undergraduate student was expelled. I hope you've read up about it, but essentially the student was not expelled, it's the wrong word. Was forced to leave campus for a while as a result of mental instability allegations. The university deemed the student unsafe here, yada yada. And so a group of students responded claiming that the student really wasn't treated fairly, and they brought up a lot of issues of rape and sexual assault with women on campus. And so in response to that, myself and some other leaders in the Greek community, but I'm more so representing the student assembly, we're using this as an opportunity to engage those students in restarting the essay committee on women's issues. So just want to kind of let you know, the student assembly has at least tried to reach out to these students who are trying to express themselves and providing a venue at least for them to express themselves with the essay committee on women's issues. So I'll be meeting with them on Saturday, and we'll put them in touch with Lauren, who's in the audience, who's our new chair for Committee on Women's Issues.
Just as an aside, I spent some time with Dean Hubbell, and we discussed this. I think it's important to note that there are issues of the case that cannot be released to the public out of respect to the individual's privacy. While it's important, I think we have a discussion on things like that, it's important to note that we should not jump to conclusions when we don't know all the facts of the story. Any questions or comments for Ryan? Okay. Any other announcements or reports? Basil.
Yeah, I was going to say, saw the article corresponding to the picture of me.
You're a philosopher now, right?
Yeah. Basically, what came out of the meeting, to make a long story short, is that we're going to form a drafting committee in the fall and actually make some concrete academic integrity proposals to kind of put around to it. So I'll obviously bring you again that, but I just wanted to say I'm interested in being on the drafting committee and that is a lot of involved.
Questions or comments for Chris? Other announcements or reports? Other additions to the agenda? Lynette Chappell-Williams will not be joining us this afternoon, so you can strike that from your agenda. That will be added to the agenda in the fall. First on the agenda is SAFC bylaws report from Vice President Blessing.
Actually, I've got there. Let me
put that out. Hey, look.
Yeah, he's here. Thank you.
Yeah.
Do we have the calendar in front of us?
Okay.
Let me put my end of year report in front of us.
I don't do that.
I'm not telling you. I'm saying he did it. He went to go photocopy.
So we got,
I don't know if he did the calendar. So those are the two changes, correct, in the bylaws? And the part of the charter is in front of us, and the top of that is Section 3, which says officers, correct? Okay, so the first item we'll discuss is on officers. I'll open a speakers list. This requires a majority vote. Ackman?
Call to question.
It's been a call to question on the amendment to the charter of the SIFC. Is there a second?
Second.
Is there any dissent? Seeing none, Taylor, just 15 seconds. Again, what are we doing here? This is the guideline of the committee. It requires a majority to pass. Clerk, please call the roll. Vote of 18-0-0, that change of the SAFC charter has been passed. Now onto the bylaws, which Alec stipulates that there will be overlap. Taylor, can you give us another 2-minute rundown of what this changes, and then we'll open up the speakers list. Speaker's list. Ahmed.
Calls the question.
He's going to call the question. Is there a second?
Second.
Is there any dissent? Taylor, we know what you're doing. Would the clerk please call the roll?
Yes. 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 Sure.
Why not?
Again, that passes. Thank you, Taylor and Ian. And Taylor, I want to thank you and Jack again. It's been great working with both of you this semester, and thanks for all your hard work. We again don't have copies of the 2012-2013 academic calendar, but Ryan went to go make those, and he will be back, and in addition to the end of year report. So we'll move on to the changes to the campus code of conduct review by Andy Cohen. Is Andy here? Chris? Okay. We'll move to Appendix B in Resolution 22, Appendix B of the SA Charter. You should have that in front of you. What? What's wrong?
We're missing Adam Garrett.
Yeah, he'll be here. What? Okay, is there something?
No, I was getting on speakers list.
Okay. So, since we've been discussing this already, we'll start with athletics. Speakers list for athletics. Ahmed.
False question on athletics. Actually, I'm going to point information. We were discussing Appendix B. The quorum program we were discussing, the amendments to include the Big Red Sports Pass shall provide free admission to all varsity sports, excluding men's varsity hockey. I just want a simple vote
right
on that. That's what we were discussing.
Where is that?
Here, this is.
Where? And
we were
where
discussing
you
that amendment before it got tabled 2 weeks ago.
All right. So this, you want this as 0.5?
Yes.
To clarify, Representative Hartman has an amendment. The Big Red Sports Pass shall provide free admission to all varsity sports, excluding men's varsity hockey, as 0.5 under Section 4, Letter A, Part 5 of the Appendix B. I'll open up a speaker's list on this amendment. NASDAQ.
Call the question.
It's been a call to question. Is there a second?
Second.
Is there any dissent? Seeing none, Vince, I guess since this is finalized, we'll just put it in. All in favor of the amendment, please raise your hand. All in favor. Okay. Up, please.
Point of information.
Yes. The Big Red Sports Pass shall provide free admission to all varsity sports, excluding men's varsity hockey.
Varsity
ice hockey. Men's varsity ice hockey. All in favor, please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19. All opposed? Abstaining? By a vote of 19-0-0, the amendment passes. I'll open up a speaker's list on athletics. Othman.
Call the question.
Going to call a question on athletics. Is there a second? Is there any dissent? Since this is a charter amendment, it requires two-thirds of the assembly to pass. Clerk, please call the roll.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes.
All right, so athletics stipulations are passed.
I have one information.
Yes. I believe we did as well.
We did.
All right.
Okay.
Appendix B is done. Yeah. Thank you all for your hard work with that. That's great. There's been a motion to adjourn. Yeah, shut up. All right, you should now have the letter from the provost, myself, and you about the calendar. I want to thank Andrew Wang for submitting to me some feedback about the dates. I'm going to submit that in a report to the provost. Is there any other feedback on this calendar? Andrew, do you want to summarize what you said?
I hope everyone has this packet on their table. It's like a chart. There's a survey done by the University of Athens in 2003. If you look on page three, it's page six, bottom says, it's a survey of Athens students. If they would like to have for Wednesday, because right now for Thanksgiving, our Wednesdays are cut in at 1:10. And the survey was to demonstrate that more than 50% of those respondents to the survey, which was around 5,000 students, prefer that they would like to have their Wednesday off completely and instead put it also in the academic calendar so that it would fit accordingly. So, that's my project survey to demonstrate that over 2,000 undergraduates. No, we'd rather have their Wednesday off completely instead of having it off at 1:10 p.m. So hopefully Cobble Smart will be receptive to this survey and hopefully something can be done. Thank you.
I'll open up the speakers list on the calendar. Ahmed?
Motion to approve.
There's been a motion to approve the calendar from the 2012-2013 with the recommendations from Andrew. Is there a second?
Second.
Is there any dissent? And Vince?
I just wanted to get a speaker's list and kind of discuss about Labor Day and how.
I do not withdraw my motion.
Ahmed does not.
Well, I would like the recommendation.
All in favor of calling to question, please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. All opposed. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. What?
Andrew.
Yep.
Andrew, what? I heard somewhere that the reason spring break or the reason Thanksgiving break starts there is because fall break. So with fall break and Thanksgiving break, you have one full week off. So we have a week off each semester. You have spring break in the spring, and then fall break and Thanksgiving break in the fall. Does this do anything to that?
He's just answering the question.
Yeah.
Or the break starts
Okay. All right. So there's been a call to question. It's been approved. All in favor of approving the calendar, please raise your hand.
Wait, can I have a point
yes.
of information from Andrew Wang?
Actually,
no.
No. No.
All in favor of approving the calendar, please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. All opposed? Abstaining? Or Ashley, are you opposed? Abstaining? All right. The calendar is approved, and I will send that along to Provost Martin. However, if there is any other feedback, please send it to me, and I'd be happy to put it in a report to the Provost. So we're done with Appendix B. We're done with the review of 2008. Is Andy here yet? All right. Can we cut the side chatter going? It's my most famous quote this on this semester. Fall 2008 elections calendar by Director of Elections-elect Mike McDermott. Where is it? Do you have a copy of the original calendar?
The original, the one from the office.
Yeah.
No, it has to be actually the entire meeting.
Here, take a photo.
No, I haven't. I didn't see.
All right, so let's open up to a speakers list and provide feedback. Lavin.
Oh, I just wanted to say, well, thanks, Mike. You've been very proactive already to get this going. I myself personally was pushing for that day earlier just because we already have 3 vacant seats, and then obviously the 4 new seats are vacant. So I wanted to have, it would be, if it wasn't a day earlier, it would be 4 SA meetings without the full SA rather than 3. So just in the interest of fulfilling these seats as fast as we can and having a legitimate assembly, that sounded wrong, having a full assembly as soon as we
what
can
are you saying?
was the goal of this. So I encourage everyone to find that friendly.
Mike, can a freshman run for the human ecology seat?
For the
agriculture and life sciences. Any seat that's open, that's not freshman or transfer, can they run for that? Okay. Wang.
I don't know. I think it's great. Thanks for I look forward to more activities today. Please get
students
interested in this. Thank you.
Thanks, Andrew. Representative Stein.
I would just like to echo Representative Lavin's comments with regard to having the seats filled as early as possible, especially since this year we had so many empty seats. And so it's not just a matter of seating the freshmen and transfers as soon as possible, it's a matter of seating the ag students and the architecture students as well. And particularly with architecture, that is a constituency that's gone far too long without being properly represented. And I think we should have them have representatives who go to the But with the regular calendar as opposed to the rapid calendar, if there were challenges, wouldn't it be any even later?
No, because the hearing on September 25th on the original calendar, they would be called by the original calendar is some way you can be earlier than October 2nd. That's the CPU bill. The rapid calendar gives the opportunity for September 25th.
Maybe Mark or someone else who's been on the assembly longer than I have answered it, but I know that this fall there were no challenges at all. Is that traditionally the case? Are the freshman and transfer elections less contentious than the regular ones?
I mean, I don't think there's a clear, I don't think it's consistent.
It's very.
Point of information, we don't wait to see
right.
People want to appeal, like once the election is a challenge,
yeah.
The office somebody puts results up. So if you don't have the rapid calendar, it would still be a week earlier. Because we wouldn't wait for the abutment that if the election is coming up that Wednesday night may be on the challenge.
Ackman, I got
you. The office will be released on Thursday, right?
Yeah. Right, right.
Ackman.
Call to question.
Going to call the question on the election calendar. The rapid calendar, it's been seconded. Is there any dissent? Seeing none, Mike, very quickly, again, what were the changes that were made? All right. All in favor of the elections calendar, please raise your hand. There's been a motion for unanimous consent. It's been seconded. Is there any dissent? Seeing none, the rapid calendar has been approved unanimously by the SA. Mike, thank you for your work. Best of luck. Is Andy here? Great. Just want to point out that Vice President Gay is not here. This would be three meetings, so if the meeting ends without Vice President Gay coming, his seat has been vacated. Don't tell him I told you that. Sure. He's not going to look at them anyway. digging myself a hole. 2 weeks in a row now. International Students Programming Board, are they here? Okay. They're coming at 5:40. So if we begin the chart resolution. Ari went to go make copies of it. Would you find it okay if we began with the charter review, and then once people come in and we were able to kind of go through these, we'll put it to the side for a second and come back to it. Resolution 25 for unfinished business, the charter review resolution by NASDAQ Asgard. Do this by chapter, or yeah, if there's no dissent, let's do it by, just by chapter. We can go through that. It'd be a little bit more organized.
Sure. Okay, so starting on page 1, chapter 1, 1-2, we just put the mention of the office of government in red, so there we have. Going to page 2, file 13A, what we did is kind of made it more streamlined. We just took the five actions and made them both from 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
To
the version 2 below, so it's like a big paragraph. On page 3, the top of page 3, if you see, it says proposals adopted by the FAA in accordance with the appropriate office of the institution that is provided not to amend the report at house. Put that in the article 110. Ask before the other body.
It doesn't matter. It has to be 21.
Then they have it in the one that this needs to be in the charter.
But just to call in a question.
Nothing. You brought your attention to the forefront of this new action legislation. That's just the office rules.
What's wrong?
For
the calendar? Yeah. So 1-4 should not be struck, correct?
1-4 should just remain in the
data. Is everyone sees that? That's fine. And 1-4-1 is just an addition?
1-4-1 is an addition.
Okay. As it is. All right.
Page 4, 1-8, you just added the fact that the FAA president should be extended each year to the license for commercial term after the year. Article 116, we used to have a different term there. staffing committee. We changed our policy to let students engage on the list of all the current leaderships that we have and all the ones that are old after the rotation out. So we welcome the new faculty clinic, GPSA, Director of Financial Aid, EA, and SDS. We also added the we also added the leadership provost in 117B. 117C related to the Black Campus Living Learning Council, which we didn't know what it was. It was in the West Campus.
Speaker's list for Chapter 1, Achman.
Actually, I don't believe any of these are contentious, so I'm going to call to question on Chapter 1.
There's been a call to question on Chapter 1. Is there any is there a second? Is there any dissent?
Dissent.
Lavin?
Sorry, I wanted to bring something up about the state of the assembly portion.
Okay. Achman, do you withdraw?
Sure.
Thank you.
Speaker's list, Lavin.
I'm not necessarily opposed to it, but the president already makes an end-of-the-year report kind of thing at the end of the semester. So I'm not sure how redundant a State of the Assembly would be. I mean, CJ's right now, and in probably a few minutes, is going to present that, probably in a State of the Assembly kind of fashion. So I don't know, maybe others would agree with me that that is already accomplished with the end-of-year report.
There's 2 points, right?
Okay.
There's never actually been a presentation because of the draft report.
Okay.
Because we're doing a presentation, it's really important to make sure that it's in there, that it's presented, that's part of the interaction with some members. Like, our standing with it, we're actually some members, which is with the last year, that's the meeting here. I don't think we're all here right now, so I think it would be important for that part of it. You know, the main thing here is that he or she makes a speech to all incoming members, so they're all aware of what's going on. Not just like, president versus the president, but also incoming.
Right. Yeah, we do. Okay. Okay. Then can I propose, I mean, I agree, but I still think it might be redundant to have two separate. Can I propose then the essay for chapter 1.8.1. So 1.8. Where are you?
All right, 1.8.1.
The essay president shall make a State of the Assembly speech, which shall include the annual end of year report. I would like the state of the assembly, which you want at the end of the year, to then just include a report as a portion of it, which can be the end of the year report. I still think it's redundant to have them separate.
So
we can make the end of this.
To incoming
SM
members.
Okay. And so then you'll take
SM members responsible to see the annual report is written presented to the current and incoming SM.
Okay. And so then you'll just take out then the State of the Assembly speech?
Yeah. State of the Assembly.
Okay, great. Because I think they're just one and the same. Great, yeah.
So the bottom line is SM president has responsibilities to see that the annual report is written and to the current and incoming essay.
Is there a second thing?
You got that?
Yep.
Okay, great. I call the question.
Wait, hold on.
Oh, what?
It's an amendment. You have.
All right. I call the question on the amendment.
There's been an amendment. Is there a second?
Second.
Is there any dissent? Okay, so it's in. Now, you don't have
I meant on Chapter 1.
Okay. Well, you're not on the speaker's list anymore.
All right.
Oxen.
Call to question.
Is it a call to question on chapter one? Is there a second?
Thanks, Steve.
Is there any dissent?
Point of information. Can we take out the word state of assembly?
Yes. Vice President Lessig has a dissent.
I just want to talk about the SFC addition of three liaisons on a six-person executive board.
Addition of two.
Addition of two. It's still a lot in my mind. I think it'll bog down a lot of what we do.
Achman, do you withdraw? There's been a call to question. It's been seconded, and there is dissent. All in favor of calling to question on Chapter 1 of the Student Assembly Charter, please raise your hand. One, two, three, four. All opposed. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. Abstaining? The motion fails. Vice President Lessig.
Yeah, I just wanted you to maybe talk a little bit more about why you think it's necessary to have three liaisons on the executive board. I understand you mean 10% of the commission would be liaisons. If we were fully staffed at 30. And I can understand some of the rationale behind that, but having all three of them be on the executive board, I think, is a bit much for an organization that generally has as much autonomy as the SFC. So I guess to talk about that, I oppose. I just frankly think there's not enough to be done to merit having eight people on the SFC board. I mean, as it is, the co-chairs and myself do a ton of work with the other three members on the e-board. I just don't know if there's a need to have three. I'm not saying I'm opposed to having three liaisons on the commission, but to give them essentially the same amount of responsibility and influence as a co-chair is a bit much. I don't think that's necessary either, but that I'd be less opposed to that.
Speaker's time has expired. There's been a motion to extend his time by how long?
30 seconds.
30 seconds. Is there any dissent?
30 seconds. I'm going to yield dissent.
Vince? I can't go with that.
I want to offer my dissent for this conclusion on another rationale that a lot of our committees currently aren't actively filled by student assembly members, and increasing it to three on the SAFC puts a lot more involvement on student assembly, and it'll take away from active involvement from other committees. And I fear that by making it three, it might not actually be necessary, but it also takes a lot of the influence that assembly members can have in other committees. So, and I don't necessarily think we need to have a think that as a power mechanism, the SA liaison is just really communication. So the SA would still have voting authority over their constitution and charter and appeal to them. So actually, can I make an amendment and yield the time?
What's your amendment?
That's right.
That entire thing?
Yes.
Representative Hartman is motioning to strike at the time committee appointments are made. The SA will select three members to serve as liaisons to the Student Assembly Finance Commission. liaisons will be voting members of the executive board and will serve to increase the communication between the commission and the assembly.
Was it already originally there?
These are additions.
My amendment is 3.
So we're just striking the addition of bylaw 1.17C, correct?
Yes, my amendment is strike the number 3 and make it the number 1.
We'll select one member. Is there a second?
A second.
Is there any dissent? Seeing none, that is now part of the document. Lavin.
Well, I was just going to say that there was significant discussion about this, and it wasn't, matter of fact, you said it was passed unanimously, that's the end of the document was, but no, this was contentious, so I was happy with the amendment. That's all.
Wang.
I was on a committee called the Library Standards Committee member, and even though I'm on the FDA and have experience, I still have to agree with whatever things we may have to be although I'm disappointed by the change.
You're on NASDAQ, don't worry.
One would be okay.
Hartman.
Call to question.
There's been a call to question on Chapter 1. It's been seconded. Is there any dissent? NASDAQ, what's your dissent?
This is what I was coming to before. I made this change to SSD. The change made with Ryan 1-8-A, 1-8 above our customers, because it's the assembly, so I'm going to take that out. So we don't have 2-6-6-6.
You withdraw your dissent.
Can you just take that as a matter of grammatical consistency?
Nope. It's a charter amendment. I can't just go in and say we're changing this.
Can you pass over the documents?
Now, I need a copy. Get some.
I need a copy. So, page 4, 1A, we're going to strike the change. 1A, before the last 2 sentences, strike that.
Can you repeat what was the change?
The change is right here. I think
so your change is where?
Page 4, 1-8, the last 2 sentences of that verse, everyone, just remove that.
So this?
Yeah.
The SA president shall also make a state of assembly. Yeah. That's struck.
Yeah.
Less than amendment.
Yes. Is there a second to that amendment?
Second.
Is there any dissent? Seeing none, next on the speaker's list is. Yes.
One other thing. Looking at one on page 7, 1-7-3-D, should be struck and it's added in at 117B under a liaisonship. It's listed as the duty of the liaison to the provost because we felt that it was just one duty of the liaison instead of giving it a whole separate bylaw. It clearly says that the provost will be
okay, 1-4 is struck, and then. Clarify. Okay, so 1-4 is no longer struck. Is there a second to that amendment? Well, I mean, he said it was struck as a mistake, and then we took it out. Is there any dissent in removing it? It's keeping it removed. Seeing none, Ahmed.
Yeah.
There's been a call to question on Chapter 1. Is there a second?
Second.
Is there any dissent? Seeing none, NASDAQ, very briefly, give us an overview of everything there.
Basically, we just clarified the chapter. This is responsibility. We streamlined the leadership process, updated the terminology like staffing committees, and just moved things around so it makes more sense in the proper headings.
Clerk, please call the roll.
Yes.
Wait until your name's called before you say yes.
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 Here. Thanks. Yeah.
Yes.
So those chapter one is approved by the assembly 19-0-0. Before we move on, just some procedural issues. The clerk will say your name, then you will levy your vote, and also you'll say yes.
Point of can we not have like a 2-minute overview after every chapter?
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, that's fine. All right, Mazdek, is it all right if I go into the state of the end of year report very quickly?
Yeah.
Sorry. So you should have the end of year report, the fruits of my labor, in front of you. I've worked extremely hard on this, and a lot. I appreciate all of the assistance that you have provided. Just to give an overview, this document will be submitted to the president, members of the SA, obviously, and the Cornell community. I'll also send it to Dean Hubbell, Vice President Murphy, and other senior members of the administration. In the first part, I provide an overview of what the SA is, in case any of you were wondering. And then just going to highlight a couple things, and I'm going to just provide a brief overview, not reading, but in the fall, I think we all know that we took a tremendous amount of time to approve the 2008-2010 student activity fee. By a vote of 15-5, the fee passed at $204. I presented the fee to the Board of Trustees in the March meeting. They had some questions about that. I was happy to see that we are now funding the Big Red Sports Pass so that undergraduate students will be admitted to undergraduate athletic events for free. As long as they at no cost, as long as they pick up their Big Red Sports Pass. Now that we've passed Appendix B, the italicized parts for ticket prices of men's hockey tickets are now frozen. We can that's now part of the document. I'm very happy that we began funding Cornell Minds Matters for mental health advocacy. As we move on, I want to thank all of the people that worked on the gender-neutral housing, especially Vince, and he's followed through and worked on our different committees for that. The Asian and Asian American Cultural Center by Representative Wang and Vice President Gay, that certainly gained a lot of news on campus. Over the weekend when I was at the Vice Provost for Diversity interviews, a lot of individuals asked about that, and they had heard a lot about it. I want to thank Steve Matthews and Ryan Lavin and those who worked for the Ivy Council and the Ivy Leadership Summit and Samantha Dong for their participation in Ivy Council and Ivy Leadership. I think we had some very successful conferences and we had great discussions. There were three professors that came forward to the Ivy Leadership Council in Philadelphia. We've also worked with SUNY Student Assembly. Don Boyce came and had dinner with Greenberg and I in the fall, and we hosted that conference. On page 5, I talk about CIT's work with Vice President McClure. We had a conference last semester with Steve Matthews. We talked about some of the problems with Red Rover. I still like the Facebook group, Red Rover, more like Red Slover. Very creative. And then NASDAQ worked with Gmail, and we discussed the implementation of that. I'm still very proud of the SA members that participate in different committees, especially the SA members on the Convocation Committee. I think Dr. Maya Angelou will be a tremendous convocation speaker. We've also worked very hard with the Slope Day Committee on Alcohol and Other Drugs. Vince worked greatly as president of the class of 2008. I want to congratulate him on a very successful year. He's also worked with the Gender Neutral Housing Office. Sanjeev and I worked on the Policies and Behavioral Review Committee, and some of the findings from that committee will be released soon. And Andrew was on Campus Life and the University Board of Health Services, so thank you to Andrew. If I didn't mention something that you were on this semester, please email me, and I'd be happy to add that. I want to thank Mark and NASDAQ for the great work on the Dining Services Committee. The implementation of WowCow in the dining halls is great, and the nutritional facts is also good. Hopefully they don't give us food poisoning like this one incorrectly stated a couple weeks ago. Chris Basil provided this next part about the University Assembly and the work there, and I want to thank Chris and Steve Matthews for their great work with the UA and keeping us updated on everything that they're doing. I spoke a little bit about the way that we've changed the way the president and vice president are selected. I want to thank Mark and Vince, and now come to think of it, I believe Alon signed on to that resolution as well. So I want to thank the three of them for bringing that forward. I really do view that as one of our top accomplishments this semester. I met with Chief Ostrander and provided us with an overview after the taser incidents that we spoke about earlier in the year. I hope that's a great relationship that will be continued throughout. I want to thank Ashley and Austin Redman, who's no longer with us, but for their work with the Environmental Review Committee. And I'm also going to mention the part about the minutes where we're not bringing this forward. I think that's great. Alon provided me with the SWOT analysis overview, and I want to thank all of you who participated in those SWOT hearings. The minutes from those meetings and the minutes from the SA meetings are very thorough and great, and those will be passed along to future assemblies, and hopefully some changes will be made in addition to what we're doing here. That gave a basic overview of what happened in November with Alon resigning and me taking over. I want to thank Nikki and Haley for stepping in as liaisons, and I appreciate that, and Guy for serving as our parliamentarian after Austin's departure. In my 2 years on the SA, I've had a very interesting experience, and I've come to really appreciate the place that we all go to school. And there were some very low times here, and there were some very high times, and you know, a lot of us had our differences, but I'm very grateful for the work that all of you have done. It has been a pleasure working with all of you. I really do hope that we've had beneficial experiences here and in our own little way helped to benefit the Cornell community. It's been certainly a very good learning experience, and there have been many times where I've gone to bed and saying, hey, that's a teachable moment. So I've certainly grown from this experience. And well, I'll miss, oh, Adam's here. He's not off the essay. Congratulations.
Yay!
What's that? Yeah, if you leave now, we won't give you credit. But I do want to thank you all. I've learned so much. And in the next year, I'm greatly looking forward to watching what Ryan and the rest of the executive board can do. I know he's a tremendous leader, and I'm sure the SA is in great hands. You know, regardless of our differences throughout, I do hope that we all stay in touch. And you know, after today, everything ends, and we can all be friends and sing kumbaya, et cetera. But thank you for all. Thank you for your friendships and your advice and your feedback. It's been a very good experience, and it's been a pleasure serving with all of you. So thank you. Okay. Yeah, if there's any feedback from this, because I believe it does have to be approved, what I'm going to do is I'll add whatever feedback you want, and I know Mazdak wanted to add something about the charter review. I just didn't feel comfortable putting that in because I didn't know if we'd, A, get to it, and then what would be approved, and I didn't want to speculate. So if there are things that you would like to add to this, please submit that to me in email. Maybe mention it here so the rest of the assembly mentions it. But Vince, feedback?
Just inclusion for student assembly members' participation. I was wondering if we could include assembly members' participation and outreach to Qatar.
Sure, absolutely. I would be happy to mention that. We were very careful when we did that. When we went into that, we knew that it wasn't going to be an essay initiative. But you know, as the Sun said in the headline, "Essay visits Qatar." So I guess you really can't go around that, but I'd be happy to enter that. And I know that the pre-medical students from Doha will be coming here this summer, so if anyone's here during the summer, Ryan will be putting that group together, and I'll be here at periods during the summer. And then through next year, we're hoping to start an exchange program so that students in Doha will come here during their spring break, and we can learn a lot about each other's campuses. But yeah, I would be happy to add that. Thanks, Vince. Anyone else? Robbie.
When will you be submitting the final draft?
After this meeting, once I get a chance. I there's something going on tomorrow, so I don't think I'm going to be able to do it tomorrow. But
I'm just wondering, how we'll have a chance to vote on it.
Well, I mean, hopefully you can. I mean, I'm not going to put anything here controversial. So if you can approve it, we can approve the draft, and then I'll just make changes, and then I'll submit the changes to the essay listserv. If there's any dissent whatsoever, I'll, you know, I'll be happy to change that. So. Okay, that's fine. I'll make the changes. Is there anything else, Rami, that you want to add?
No, I just wanted to let you know, like, when would you, like, maybe, like, a tentative deadline where you could be expecting, like...
Sure. I mean, technically, our terms are over June 1st, so up until then, if there are any changes, but I'd like to submit it to the president by the time, before I leave over there in the middle of May. Yeah, Ryan.
No changes. I just wanted to thank CJ on behalf of the entire assembly, kind of coming into this position in the middle of the year and giving us all going above and beyond expectations. So let's just have one more hand for CJ Slitzel.
Moments like these, I wonder why I'm not doing this anymore. Any other feedback?
Wait 10 minutes.
We get a motion to approve the end of year report with the understanding that if there are any other changes, I will submit those. It's been seconded. Is there any dissent? All right. All in favor of approving the end of year report, please raise your hand. Adam, that can do it. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19. Opposed? Abstaining? 1. All right, thank you all. What? My email address is cjs75. If anyone has any feedback. Going back to charter review, Resolution 25 by NASDAQ. Chapter 2. Go ahead. Speaker's list. Achman. Is there any dissent? Really quickly. All right, never mind. Clerk, please call the roll.
That was in there. That's not raised first. It was raised by the
committee. And you approved it.
Yeah. Abstain. Really? He was here?
Yeah.
No. Yeah. I had approved it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. It was pretty good.
Yeah.
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 And chapter 2 passes unanimously. Chapter 3, go ahead, man.
Chapter 3, 3-1-B, on the bottom of the left, chapter 1, new students and the first year students leave. So that was clear that there have been some comments in the past of people who are new students in university that have not first year students running for those that have been designated first year students. Same goes for transfer students. We made it clear that by new transfer students are by their new transfer students. Some of the transfer students 1 year a year after taking up their public general voting
the right
policy. You know, they're not the ones that
are come off transfer voting school.
So we did it like that. We want to be together election rules, which is technically very much in the charter. Just so that the operation of election election rule divided by the SA and the 3-2 on the term, so it's 1 year, but one academic year term. That was home last month. Item 3-3, student body presidential appointment.
TJ, what are you doing today?
The deputy president appoint one member of the district
student
the
election
of the SA, which means the chief of the district student. Basically, the confusion in the past was what's going to pass, and Mike was up here. New students who transferred failed, they were going to run for vacancy.
In the past, it was one streamlined process. Now it's separate, so it's very clear. The new policy from the agency says the remaining voting members will fill all those seats by seating the highest-ranked non-voting candidate in the last three elections when the city seat. This procedure is followed to determine the subsidy rate are undesignated by the runoff election. No corruption in the most recent undead at-large spring election, all runner-ups decline, such people will remain vacant in the next spring election. All policies reassigned as a four-month period to the previous designation of time of next spring election. So it makes it very clear that who it is that can fill Chief Texas in spring election. For example, Hugh Mexican is currently at-large, and it makes it very clear that will return to his previous election once the current year closes. It also has a separate process for new students and transfers. New student transfer reps will only be eligible to fill seats vacated by new student or transfer reps respectively. Such vacancies will be filled by something in the same process. We've had kind of international policies that are going through. New student election process will happen when you get moved back to the land and go to the
school
election.
This one?
And we have the /vacancy process. Okay. We also looked at the recall procedure. We talked about this quite a bit. Basically, we have two methods for recall. It kind of addresses what Ron and Brian talked about, the SWOT analysis. Okay. So, basically, there's two ways to recall your voting ethical member. One is petitioning, and two is by ethical voting member. Petitioning for the recall of the specific ethical voting member will be registered to office members, employees, or just assumed by the card members are obtained. Petition for recall should not take more than 14 consecutive days for the registration of the petition. The required number of signatures should be 15% of the representative's constituency. Including petition for the representative to the office of assembly, go verify it, and then we'll go to recall procedure. As stated below, the prior procedure said that for recall, it would be 50% plus one if it's at large. I'm sorry, it would be 15% if it's at large. Yeah. The entire school body would be 50% plus one petition to recall. As far as I'm aware, I've never heard of the recall procedure being brought in SA members, so mainly because the procedure here is so daunting. We just tried to streamline the process, make it so that. It's actually doable, but it's extremely difficult. I would say the prior procedure was impossible. It should be impossible to do that procedure. It should be a very high standard for recall procedures. By FDA voting number, it also takes the assembly member to make a recall procedure to another assembly member. Such members are now by the assembly is 120 hours. It says what the recall procedure is, evidence for the assembly member, requires 4/5 super majority vote. So if the full sitting assembly, 22 people is there, 19 people vote to recall someone. The one person who's obviously in question to be able to vote for themselves. So it's extremely high standard. It's basically almost on a table standard. One reason that you find the profit is that you have access to student bodies that vote, so I think they vote to be raised at least one. As we've seen in special elections, there's no way to define an election completely special elections. This was necessary. And two, the way that a lot of our peer institutions do it. As part of the process, we looked at charters of all the other Ivy schools plus our student partner schools. All of those institutions are on the standard. All these very high quarters super majority standard. And basically make it extremely difficult but doable that we really want to. So that's something that maybe we'll have some discussion about. I don't know if we want to vote on that one separately because the other one's I think pretty straightforward and I think it's important to get there with the charter before we have now a long discussion about the recall procedure, which is barely ever voted. So I don't know if that's
if someone wants to split the question, we can do that. I'm in the. Does anyone find that unfriendly? We're just going to split the question. We're voting on chapter three, but everything in Chapter 3 but the recall, so 3.5, and then that'll be a separate discussion. Is there any dissent to that? All right. So just on Chapter 3, except for recall, I'll form a speaker.
I was going to say, everything except 3.4b1 is restricted. 3.4a is basically the procedure, so that, even though it's on page 14, it's still
goes to the file. Okay. So up until there, is there any dissent? All right, so we'll just begin that. A speaker's list on everything up to that point. Speaker's list. Ashley. Or did you want to speak on the recall? Lavin, you were on the recall too?
Yeah. I'll speak on the recall.
Ahmed.
I guess, sir, it's only on the recall that they're called to question on the rest.
Can always count on you. Is there any dissent? All right. Okay, so I think we're pretty clear on everything that's there, so Matt, that doesn't need to give an overview. Clerk, please call the roll on everything for Chapter 3, but up until 3.4b1.
Yes.
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 Yes. Abstain.
Yes.
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 Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes.
All right. Well, let's begin discussing it, and then if we do think it's going to be too long, say after 10 or 15 minutes, someone can motion to table this part, and then we'll move on. Speaker's list is now being formed. I have Lavin and then Ashley. Is there anyone else to be on the speaker's list? All right, Lavin.
So is that registration first step? Is that the sole reason for that is to inform the office so they can prepare for an election? Was that the purpose of that?
It was the prior election to the
So I guess I would ask Ari or you, Mazdik, if you know, would that be necessary in terms of setting up that election? I don't like the fact that, you have to register for that, and then you got to do the petition, and then people are not, that's too many layers of administrative.
I think the registration is
to officially start what?
To officially start the time period. It's not like you just get finished up the entire year. We've always had time limit. There's 14 consecutive day time limit. So I think that's why there has to be someone that, there has to be some body officially that says this is when the day starts, when we start counting today. So does that make sense? That's what makes it so difficult. We have to be able to get all those signatures within a 14 day consecutive period, not over 2 or 3 months, because I'm sure that would be much easier. That's how all the institutions do as well.
So could it just be then? Wait, I'm sorry. So I guess the registration, all that really is you picking up your petition sheets, and then.
I think all we're doing is starting the countdown. Because you have 14 consecutive days to get the signatures. You don't do it within 14 days.
Okay.
You do as well.
I'll stop. So it seems like it's necessary for that time limit. Okay.
Ashley.
Okay, the only thing I would say is on 3.5.1,
yes,
where it says the requirement for signatures shall be 50% of the representative constituency. After that, I would add that participation in the election is that number. So rather than just, I don't know what percentage of constituencies don't vote at all, but it seems like it would make more sense for people. We know how many people actually voted, so people would vote. Yeah, okay.
No, it's one of these options. No, any security can get the type of position with that thing. You like that.
Just the previous standard was,
I'm thinking about crazy ones, 4, 5, 6.
So if you have 14,000 students that are going to on the graduate, we're talking about a little more than 2,000 signatures. And college students, 50% plus one, and we thought that was a very important thing for the college, that we get more signatures for college graduates than at large. We just think we're going to be able to do this because we can get out of this entire position.
Was it that many?
Huh?
Was it 100? I thought it was like 103.
Let's say 103.
Okay.
I thought you were just like CJ asked getting through this kind of petition and recall. I mean, it's just going to be interesting.
Right, but the number of people that actually care enough about that person being there, like,
it's just going to be involved. Yeah, so what we're going to say is that people are broad, they're going to be on the road, some people may take a look back, and you might find you to be living in this part and that part of the person.
I mean, it wouldn't be disqualifying us for voting
in
the recall, though. It would still...
It's just like much, much more
easy. I mean, it's also, I think it should be easier for students to be able to bring these kind of for it. I mean, they're really rare, as you were saying. So, I'm just going to, I guess, can I read an amendment?
Sure.
I propose an amendment. Okay. I propose an amendment to 351 after the required number of signatures shall be 15% of the representative constituency that participated in the election of that member.
That participated in the election of that member? Is that correct? Is there a second? Is there a second? There
second.
Is there any dissent?
Dissent.
All right. There are several people who have dissent, so we'll start a speaker's list on that. Vince, what's your point of information?
If elections are a secret ballot, how would you verify it? Like,
you're talking about the total number, aren't you?
Or
it's just the total number.
Number.
It's not the
actual
people.
Yeah.
Speaker's list. Andrew.
So actually, I think your ideals behind this is great, but the problem I have is that you're limiting the number of people who can vote. And I think we should keep it open to the crowd.
So to give you an example, say I was elected with 100 votes, you'd need, if you wanted me off, you needed 15 people to basically. Yeah, that's not to actually have the vote.
It was just bring it forward.
Right.
You
understand it?
Yeah, no, actually, thank you. So I think my first thing is that. But the second thing is still because I think it shouldn't be that easy to recall a representative. I think it's kind of doesn't make sense to me. So that's why I'm against it. I think we should keep it to
15%
because if you saw like in the hotel pool, for example, you don't even need like 10 people to recall. Actually, set aside the recall as a rather really small number, especially at undergraduate school where we afford to that.
Just a point of information, but I hope people are clear. This initial voting, 50% of the constituency versus 15% of the voting, it doesn't recall the person. That brings the person up for recall procedures, and then I just wanted to clarify.
Ahmed.
Yeah. Actually, there's just a couple of things that I asked questions about. First, I know it only begins the recall procedure, but if 15 people sign a petition wanting to recall CJ, to go with the example that everyone's giving, then you're forcing like the opposite assemblies to actually hold the recall election. That actually costs money. So like 15 people for us to, because of 15 people to hold an election, I think that's not a good standard at all. I think 15% is a much better standard. I know it's tougher. And I know, I do agree with Ash, like, I do think that if an SA member is really, like, not a fan of the constituency, like, it should be easier for them to recall him or her. But I think in certain cases it might be very problematic. The other thing I was wondering is, how would we recall under that procedure, how would we recall someone like Andrew, for example, who really wasn't voted in, he filled the vacant seat. So how would his recall procedure work in this particular case?
What I was going to say is actually, I agree with you, but I think that the corollary to how our charter works, which is either the SA
A way for the student body to do it, if they want to, if they're the ones who do it, theoretically, they should have a route to do so, just like they have the route to amend their charter, and a way to essay members. And they're going to have to amend their charter members. And that's the reason why I've never seen a group of people sign a petition to get this body to amend the charter. The charter members have always been brought by essay members, like either people bring it to essay members, or just turn over to essay members and basically have them as representatives. I think it's the same situation here. By having two different processes that you can bring a recall to and have it all culminate in one final vote, I think it's the way to go. And that should have to happen for the entire student body. But also, there's also a separate way. This is for 6 assembly members. If you're the student of the student body, 15 students want to recall to you, and then 6 of the students want to recall to you against them. They can also do it in that way. There's two different ways. So I think there's a high standard for petition because we know half the time when people sign a petition, they may not be aware of it. And I think there should be a high standard. You should demonstrate a commitment to that. Or you should be able to convince the assembly members. That's certainly not an easy standard. And it's not that just like convincing the assembly members, you will recall something. You will convince the 6 assembly members to prove your case to the point where if all 6 of those people vote with you, you can convince 30 of those people to vote with you, not only the person who's doing the recall, which is a 3-person margin. So, I mean, it's a very extreme question. And the reason is because obviously this kind of political body is going to dislike amongst people. We don't want to encourage people to take advantage of this procedure. It's just simply for that dislike. We want to stay with it for some time.
15 seconds.
It actually is a discussion of that going to be recalled as they go through this process. So basically, the point is you have to get enough people to agree on her side or
do you intend to delete the part about the recall election? Because there's nothing in your new part that has provisions for a recall election.
Yes, yeah, the prior recall election, the entire prior recall procedure is deleted. In the end, all the recall procedures come from 4/5 supermajority votes.
So there's no more popular election.
No.
So okay. So the yeah, the cost argument is gone.
Yeah.
Okay. Just pointing that out. Then. Yep. Go ahead.
Aside from the cost argument, we should just take this cost and have less constituents vote. Every other school that has a recall procedure always has an assembly vote on it because, again, taking it back to somebody who recalls is a popular issue. Taking it back to the assembly who actually know the issues they are, they're more familiar with it, with what's going on in the assembly and what's going on with the person. Some of the things are that flagrant that requires recall. It would be your position to vote on that. Also keep in mind we have a separate agency procedure. So if your reason for recall is someone not showing up, you don't have to recall them. That automatically happens for the agency procedure. They don't show up, usually back to back, or switch to back, and then later they come off, they're just automatically
stressed.
I don't even know on what you call someone that gets a pass, but the procedure is going to be a
this.
I kind of agree that the recall procedure for students should be a little not as difficult as the 15%, but I don't feel that it's an appropriate mechanism to do so. I think I'm going to disagree with this amendment, but I encourage someone on the next speaker's list to bring forward an amendment to decrease the 15% to 10 or 5% of the elected, of the population of whatever constituency they're a part of, because I don't think the recall procedure should be dependent upon how many votes you got for an election, because that is somewhat dependent upon how the election went, how it was publicized, and that who was opposed, if you had a lot of competition. So I think you have good mechanisms for making it less difficult. I agree that this is a problem. With that, I'm going to call the question.
Sir, point of information, it's not how many, maybe this is unfair to have, it's not how many. Okay, not how many people voted for that person, but how many people voted in that election. So, like, if you only got, if you only got 20 people to vote for him, but 100 people voted in the hotel full of things, that would be.
So that's my main point. That
it's been a calling question. Is there a second?
Second.
There is dissent. Adam?
Oh, I completely agree with Ashton. I actually wanted to make a point. I was on the list at some point.
Do you withdraw your call to question?
I feel we have much stuff to do, so I'm calling.
All in favor? Yeah, I mean, just the amendment. Yeah, all in favor of calling a question on the amendment, please raise your hand. One, two, three, four, five, eight, nine, 10, 11, 12, 13. Opposed? Wait, get my chart out. One, two, three, four, five, six. Abstaining? Where's the chart?
Sure.
Okay. 13. It passes. All right. All in favor of the amendment, which now reads, the required number of signatures shall be 15% of the representative's constituency that participated in the election of that member. Am I correct, Ashley? All in favor of that amendment, please raise your hand.
Okay.
Opposed? One, two, three, four. 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. Abstaining?
Why are you abstaining? I'm not really excited yet.
It's fragile.
Okay. Back to the original speaker's list. Yay.
Absolutely. Thanks, TJ. Someone brought up a point that you think this is a low standard, an easy standard, if you sat at stat, only 15% of the voting members in the constituency vote. However, I'd argue that six of the crazy people in here, there's many. I look around this room, I could see Caprice, I could see six of you getting together and sitting down one day with no evidence and coming up with a capricious decision, you know what, let's go ahead and impeach somebody. And that is completely counter to the democratic body that this is. As opposed to Ashley, we're out of order. As opposed to Ashley's...
there's been a point of information. What's the point of
information? Recall. I'll clarify for you. Recall. As opposed to actually having 15% of the people who participate in the election, which seems completely rational to me. So this argument that, oh, this is setting such a low and easy standard, and there's going to be such a burden on the office because so many people are going to start impeaching everybody else, or recalling everybody else, I think that's absurd. And I wanted to speak specifically to the 3.5.2, which said that This section says any six members of the assembly can get together and do this. I'm going to make an amendment that we raise that up to 10, because I think that's a much more, if in the end, in fact, you have to have 19 people or four-fifths supermajority to agree, I think you need a greater percentage to actually bring this on the table, because you don't want this to be a mechanism for the assembly to embarrass somebody just to try to make a point or to slow down debate. So my amendment is going to be, it's going to simply change by SA voting member, any 10 assembly members may begin a recall proceeding.
The amendment on the table is 3.5.2. By SA voting member, any 10 assembly members may begin recall, etc. Is there a second to that motion? Is there any dissent?
Dissent.
You want to explain your dissent? Just quickly, we'll...
All right, I think I understand what you're saying, but I think if six people are going to try to bring something against someone, they're going to eventually end up embarrassing themselves really more than anything. And I think as of right now, in terms of compared to impeaching someone from the keyboard, I'm comparing it. One person can vote in. So I think this is a recall procedure, and I think six is a very reasonable standard.
Okay.
I think it's very hard to attain this. All
right. So the speaker's list is now open on the amendment, changing 6 to 10.
Well, we dissented, so can we vote if we want
to? I mean, I've just decided to open up the speaker's list. I can do that. Representative Wang?
I was on the committee, and our rationale was that, we shouldn't get that many people to bring forth something, because it could be, you need a four-fifth of the majority to do it. That's why it still go along with the members. But I'd be willing to compromise if it was lower than 8, but all of us are going to be voting against it, because the committee agreed unanimously, especially including Dion Greenberg, Ronnie Dale, and a few other members that we felt the six members should be not too small a number, but not too, we didn't want a huge number of 10. So
Chris Sarah. NASDAQ.
Thank you. So this is going to be representing what happened at the committee meeting, which is a rationale for kind of picking this area. So this is the number. The reason we pick this is because we require to pick the number of our other speakers. For example, we require 6 people to call a special meeting of the SA. We use that number throughout our charter for other purposes as well. We use the number 6 because almost a quarter of the assembly.
Question on the amendment. There's a second. Is there any dissent? Seeing none, all in favor of the amendment, which changes 6 to 10, please raise your hand.
Oh, up top one more time.
Go. All opposed. It failed.
Bunch of animals. Bunch of
all right.
Animals.
Going back to the original speakers list, Achman.
I'm
going to call the question on the recall procedures in Chapter 3. Is there a second? Is there any dissent?
Okay.
Then?
I just want to propose an amendment to make the recall procedure for the student body from 15% to 5%.
All in favor of calling the question, please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. Opposed. 1, 2. Abstaining.
Nope.
That's you. All right. NASDAQ, 30 seconds over. 30 second overview on the recall procedure.
This is going to be discussed in the temporary recall procedure. I'm just giving you a brief time to talk about the old ones. You can see why this one is so much better. To take the perspective of the voting, we'd like to revert back to the old one.
Absolutely.
Much higher than especially
that
for
Stan
Holloway. Procedures passed.
Did you, I need to make a motion.
Okay. Before we move on to Chapter 4,
wait,
we have the International Students Programming Board.
Exactly. I was going to make that motion.
I Yeah, I was going to do that.
Oh, okay.
According to Appendix B, the International Students Programming Board needs to present their budget at the end of each academic year. I'm grateful to the ISPB for coming today and preparing their budget. They'll be, give us a brief overview of everything that they've spent. And
yeah, have a seat. Have a seat.
Have a seat.
Yes. Say well.
Yeah, yeah, that'd be great. Any questions? Andrew?
Well, you said that you spent 80% of money was spent to undergraduates, 20% was spent to graduate institute organizations? Is that using our money or?
No, what I was referring to is that if you look at the right column of that budget, for the donated but then again,
it's just that it says it is appendix B to B.
That was pretty much it. But the rollover payment,
what did you mean that a lot?
And you're not supposed to carry over $3,000.
You just have to pay on
because they're allocated for a year.
For 2 years.
$3,000 will fly. So that's a huge rollover. Even if you're projecting that, Is that, so are you projecting that for the year following as well? Or is that kind of like $3,000 just being carried around? Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah, usually we have that around that amount and then the year.
Okay, so that might be our bad then because they should just, like, that's just like $3,000. So, yeah. Okay, you're not, but what I'm saying is there should be a $3,000
buffer. Yeah, I just wanted to echo, that might have been a trend, but I think Ash is right in the sense that Nate, your group can just kind of take a look at the trends and see how you can avoid that. I mean, maybe that's giving more groups more money that they could deserve, you know what I mean? It's just not the most productive thing in the long run, so if we could change the trend, that's all.
Yay.
Yes, all right. Are we, don't worry, I have two questions now. All right. Well, guys, thanks a lot for coming. As you said last semester at appropriations, and as this addresses actually your question also, this came up, this issue of rollover and the magnitude of it and what groups should do. And I think that's going to come up again in a year and a half when the next e-board presents. And we included that in the notes so that people see that this is addressed now. But and if there is a,
yeah.
Like this is out with other groups and there's a long trend, 6 or 8 years of a rollover, that's a serious issue. So I think that'll be reconciled within the next year and a half. So.
All right. Thank you very much to both of you. We appreciate your willingness to come forward and abide by the procedure. So thanks so much.
Thanks, guys.
Have a great summer. Chapter 4, Officers. Is Andy here?
Andy Cohen.
No. No show. All right. No. Too bad.
Wait, he's in the room right now.
He's kind of rude. Go ahead, chapter 4.
What did you hear?
Graduating seniors in the country with their
The time now is 6:30. The scheduled ending meeting time is 6:30. Is there a motion to extend the time of the meeting? To when? Is there a motion to extend the end of the meeting to 6:45 p.m.? Is there a second? Is there any dissent?
Dissent.
Adam?
I think out of deference to the full school assembly next year, it needs to be assessment issues when a lot of people have already left. I think it warrants us to do this and take you guys taking it up next year when we actually have a full assembly here.
All in favor of...
And also, additionally, we're not going to get through anything substantive within the next 15 minutes. We can get through maybe one of these issues and have a thorough debate on it.
All in favor of extending the end of the meeting to 6:45, please raise your hand.
One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, ten, 11.
Opposed.
One.
Oh, I almost counted that. Two, three. Abstaining. Mazdak, keep going. Okay. Arjun?
Just real quick, while we have this in front of us, I wanted to add something to the BPCR.
Yep, you can make it a member.
Okay, so I started doing that thing with BBR where I got interviewed every week, and it's worth continuing to do, but not every week. So if you can add under that, I'm sorry, Nikki, to put it on the plate, but if you can add this under that list of responsibilities to be interviewed on WBBR, the soapbox hosted by Arjun and Arjun next year, and just add that as one of the responsibilities.
How frequently?
Well, once every 3 weeks. It'll be fun, Nikki, I swear.
Arjun has made an amendment which now adds a responsibility to the already very hefty Vice President for Public Relations job. Number 14, to be interviewed by WBBR once every 3 weeks.
Yes.
Is there a second?
Second.
Is there any dissent?
Yeah, I dissent.
Add that.
I mean, very briefly, the biggest argument we need to try to do with the document is our biggest time.
Then a call to question on Chapter 4.
No,
it's in second. Is there any dissent?
Dissent. I was going to speak to it.
Yes.
And I want to talk about bylaw.
All in favor of calling the question, please raise your hand. One, two, three, four, five, six. Opposed. One, two, three, four, five, six. Abstaining.
I was on the speaker's list, and I'd like to talk about a bylaw 4.2b. My first question is, I don't recall, is every committee responsible for having audio minutes? No, right? Minutes. Right, that's it. That's what I need. Okay, but the stipulation is that they need to keep minutes, right? I just think, so I'm referring to bylaw 4.2b1. So it's saying the executive committee shall also make available the audio of minutes within 24 hours of the end of the meeting to any member of the Cornell community. So it's, I guess, you want to make the minutes of the executive committee more available, but because the other committees won't have audio minutes.
Okay.
Okay, I understand. I just think it's I personally think it's just a little too much. I mean, SA members are able to go to the executive committee meetings. They should be encouraged to do so. And in fact, I think this would discharge them from coming to the executive committee meetings. But the other part of my rationale was, you know, I'd like to use our resources in at least a relatively efficient way. I really can't think of anyone else, you know, maybe besides you, I mean, it's not an insult at all, you're just very devoted, that would, hold on, let me just finish, that, you know, would listen to these minutes of the executive committee meeting. I mean, I think audio minutes of the student assembly meeting are very important, and, you know, I think that should be a resource for the undergraduate community, but, I mean, to do something like this that is not going to be used, who's going to listen to minutes of the... of a committee, you know what I mean? People don't do it for the SA meeting. I would motion to strike that last
second.
What clause?
The one I've been talking about.
I don't know why I'm doing that sometimes, all right? That's
so I motion to strike. The executive committee shall also make available the audio of the meeting for 24 hours at the end of the meeting for the members of Cornell community.
Is there a second?
Second.
Is there any discussion? Andrew, what's up, bud? What's going on?
I'm not a fan of honesty or openness, but
order, Vice President. Speaker's list is now being formed. Who would like to
I thought we have to vote on
it's an amendment. Get
100% fine left on this one. And call the question.
I'm gonna call the question on the amendment. Is there a second? Is there a second?
Yes, there's a second.
You didn't say that. Is there any dissent? Andrew, same reason?
Same reason, thank you.
All in favor of calling the question on the amendment, please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16. Opposed? And abstaining. All in favor of the amendment, which strikes the executive committee, shall also make available the audio of the meeting within 24 hours of the end of the meeting to any member of the Cornell community. Please raise your hand. All in favor of striking it. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Opposed. 1, 2, 3, 4.
No, Vince's hand is
up.
Abstaining? What's your vote? You're abstaining. Okay, 2. Okay, so that motion passes, and that is struck from the document. Next on the speaker's list, Stenson. Vince. Just in Chapter 4, any time that it says Executive Committee, you want to change to Executive Board.
Yeah.
Is there a second?
Second.
A little late there. Any dissent?
Dissent.
Yeah, Lavin, go ahead.
I just think in order to merit this change, we would have to talk about the larger discussion of what the Executive Committee versus Board would or should be. And I don't think we're going to be able to do that in the next 5 minutes or even in the next 15, and I think the assembly next year should discuss that. So I don't want to keep going back retroactively. We shouldn't do it.
Fine. I'm calling a question on the amendment. Is there a second? Any dissent? You just okay.
You look in the section. There is no necessary reason that executive committee to put objective board.
All in favor of calling a question on the amendment, please raise your hand. calling a question, not approving it. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. Opposed? Vince, you want to put your hand up? Abstaining. The motion, we'll call the question. All in favor of the amendment which changes all committee to board, every time committee is mentioned in chapter 4, will now change it to board. All in favor of that amendment, please raise your hand. 2. Opposed? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Abstaining. The motion fails. Back to the original speakers list. Yep, you're on here after Adam. Adam.
What's that? Where do we call the question?
He wants to call it. It's your turn. You're next, Matt.
Okay. Good to go.
Adam, he can do whatever he wants in this 2 minutes. I believe this is called a filibuster. In Congress, sometimes they read the phone book.
Can I edit a little bit?
Yeah, go.
I've actually been wanting to talk to you.
No? 1 minute.
No, this is silly. I'm yielding my time. Lavin, you know?
Point of information, after a person is going to talk, you need to give this mic back.
Well, I was about, if you would let me finish, out of order.
I wanted to do that one last time.
Out of order. Completely right. Out of order. I don't know if it's going to do a charade. Yeah.
30 seconds.
Keep me going. Do you have any more
time?
No. All right. I'm going to yield the rest of my remaining time to the chair. No, it's done. I already yielded it.
I'm going to call a question on chapter 4. Is there a second? Is there any dissent? Seeing none, NASDAQ brief overview of everything. Put the flask away, please.
Front page is the sun.
Order, folks. Order.
Drop the hammer, CJ. Drop the hammer.
NASDAQ, overview, please.
I am
640. Call your roll. Call for last time. Maybe not.
That's it, Liz.
Yeah. He left too.
No. What's that?
Yeah. Yes.
Yes.
Matthew.
Yes.
What do you have? Okay. 16 to 1, that chapter 4 passes. Moving on to chapter 5, however the time is, 6:45.
Motion to adjourn.
There's been a motion to extend the meeting time until what time? 7 p.m.
Yeah, motion to adjourn first.
No, automatically
adjourn if you don't agree with the meeting time. All right, well, I'm just
sent to that. Is there a second to Vince's motion?
Second.
Any dissent?
Yes, can I speak? When?
Yeah, why not?
Again, out of courtesy and deference to our future SA members, I think you guys deserve the time and an actual intellectual discussion as opposed to a rushed 15-minute cram it through. So that's what I'm going to recommend, that we go ahead and adjourn now and leave it to our future SA members to discuss this.
All in favor of extending? No, you cannot.
He dissented. All in favor of the motion to extend the meeting time until 7 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. Please raise your hand.
Was that Eastern Daylight Time?
1, 2, 3, 4. All opposed. Folks, it's been an absolute pleasure. I really enjoyed serving you all. Thank you so much. See you here. Yes, you can.
Oh, thank you.
Take your pen card. You serve with great memoirs.
Tony. Oh, yeah.
Are you
going
to be back next year?
I'll see you later. Probably tomorrow, maybe.
This has been a production of Cornell University. On the web at cornell.edu.